mind. Selection of article Five Brother LG Sargent. There's an article here on the loosing of the woman bound, and it's based on Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, which I'll read first from the New King James Version. So, reading from Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So reading from the article by Brother L.G. Sargent, he says, Jesus' controversy with the Jews over the Sabbath has a leading place in all the Gospels, and 7 miracles are specially recorded as having been performed on the Sabbath day. They are the healing of the man with an unclean spirit in the Capernaum synagogue, the healing of Peter's wife's mother of a fever, healing of a man with a withered hand, the loosing of the woman who was bowed together, the healing of the man with dropsy, the healing of the man at Bethesda, giving sight to the man born blind. And of these, 3 were performed in the synagogue, and along with the last one were deliberate challenges to the Pharisees who were looking on. They were acts of Jesus' own volition, without request being made by the sufferer. Miracles on the Sabbath, therefore, have a special significance in his work. Was Jesus only contending for a more liberal interpretation of the Sabbath law? No doubt these acts are a criticism of the fine-spun and sometimes hypocritical restrictions with which the law was hedged about by the tradition of the elders. But the number of such miracles and their prominence in the record suggests that Jesus was doing more than claiming freedom to heal on any day of the week. The loosing of the woman brings the issue to a focus. Jesus points out that any one of them would loose an ox or ass from the stall and lead it to watering on the Sabbath. As on other occasions, he pointed out that anyone would rescue a beast which had fallen into a pit. On the face of it, the argument might seem to be, you relax the vigour of the Sabbath on the ground of humanity to the beast, cannot it be relaxed on the ground of humanity to man? But that is not, in fact, the conclusion which he draws. He says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom the adversary hath bound, lo, these 18 years, to be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" That is to say, there is a special appropriateness in this woman being loosed from the bond of the adversary on that day, rather than any other. And part, at least, of the appropriateness lies in the fact that she is a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of the covenant. The Sabbath was a sign between Israel and God, and the fact that by a perpetual covenant they reproduced week by week the Lord's rest from the work of creation was a witness to their great covenant relationship with him as a people he had purchased and brought into his sanctuary. Hence it was at that time a memorial of their redemption from the toil of servitude in Egypt. From every point of view, therefore, it is a fitting type of the Messianic age, when the work of redemption will be completed, the new covenant will be consummated, and the people will enter into the glorious liberty of God's rest. The foreshadowing of the future in the Sabbath is apparent in the group of psalms which bear the title, a psalm or song of the Sabbath day. And this, as a rabbi explains, is a psalm song for the future age, which will all be Sabbath. And in the Passover Haggadah today, the Jews pray, "May he who is most merciful cause us to inherit the day that is entirely Sabbath, a and the rest of everlasting life. The recurring theme of this service of Psalms is the Lord reigneth, and there is remarkable agreement amongst commentators that this is an acclamation when the king has ascended the throne. In these Psalms, therefore, these words are not merely a statement that God is always king, but a prophecy of the day when he will be known and acclaimed as king. The expression is to be compared with the joyous song of Revelation 19, verse 6. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. From one of these psalms, Paul quotes in Hebrews 3, verse 7, where he argues that as the Israelites of old were excluded from entering into God's rest, there remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest, or a keeping of the Sabbath, for the people of God. The Sabbath is therefore a type of that to which the unfaithful Israelites failed to attain even when they entered the promised land under Joshua. The saying, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, does not mean the Sabbath was made for human needs and must be accommodated to those needs. It means the Sabbath, being the foreshadowing of the future age, is the type of God's redemptive purpose with man, and the purpose is greater than its type. When Jesus on the Sabbath performed the works of the Messianic age, proclaiming liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, and causing the dumb to sing, he is acting as the Messiah. In him the Messianic age has come near, the kingdom of God has approached. For that work, no day is so appropriate as the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath because he is Lord of the age which it prefigures, and his action in deliberately performing miracles on the Sabbath in itself implies the messianic claim. Moreover, in so doing, he is not breaking the law, but fulfilling it. He is filling it up to its full measure. To change the figure, he is laying bare its innermost significance. The necessary daily care for livestock, or the rescuing of them from special danger when done on the Sabbath, then, becomes an unconscious parable. They are a reflection of Ezekiel 34, the prophecy of the time when the Lord will seek out his sheep and deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered, and of which he says, I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down. In that age of rest they shall be under one shepherd, even my servant David. Jesus had shown elsewhere that in the claims of the law of the covenant, overrode those of the Sabbath. A child must be circumcised on the eighth day, whether that was Sabbath or no. And he argued that he was fulfilling the aim of the covenant by making a man every whit whole on the Sabbath. To say that he was breaking the Sabbath by doing so was a superficial judgment according to the appearance. Righteous judgment, which went beyond appearances to reality, would recognise that he was keeping the Sabbath in the very act by which he seemed to be breaking it. No day was more fitting than the Sabbath for an act which fulfilled the type and confirmed the covenant. In the same way, he had reminded them that the law's requirements for the temple service transcended the Sabbath restrictions, so that the priests were guiltless, though the work they performed would, if done in any other connection, profane the Sabbath. Yet this was not a relaxation of the Sabbath, but a work which fulfilled the very object for which the Sabbath existed, the sanctification of God. So in the same way, care for the essential needs of beasts was not a relaxation of the Sabbath, but something properly belonging to it, and a type of the divine care for the flock of God. But it is only a type. What is the reality of which it is a shadow? Was not that reality being shown by the works which Jesus did on the Sabbath? Here were the works of the Messianic age, for which the children of Abraham are destined, when they will receive the substance of all the shadows. And how much better is a man than a sheep?